Mary Schrader, dear friends, they're here. They pastor outside Cleveland, Ohio, so we give them a God welcome. Good to have you. We grew up together. We were best men at each other's weddings and a lot of things. We've known each other since we were kids, and Mary's dad is Pastor Veach that I talk about all the time. He was our pastor, and so they're here just for a couple of days and before they got to get back to the cold and keep plugging along. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, we're in Mark. We're walking through the Mark's gospel, and we are in a section of verses from verse 14 through 20 where Jesus is calling his men. We started out, we broke up these handful of verses, and we talked about Jesus' message, then Jesus' men, and then we're going to get to Jesus' miracles. Amen? Jesus' message, Jesus' men, Jesus' miracles. And we're focusing on the men. We're focusing on the men. But the Bible says, Mark 1 in verse 14, after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And then as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake. They were fishermen. And Jesus said, verse 17, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat, preparing the nets, and without delay he called them. And they left their father in the boat with the hired men and followed him. We want to dig into this. Let me see that outline, his message, his men, and his miracles. That will be block number one. Here we go. This is what we've been studying, this handful of verses. Jesus and his message, and we talked about that. It was repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen? And then his men. And that's where we are tonight. We're dealing with his men. And so far we have studied that Jesus, what kind of men is he looking for? What kind of women does he look for? Who are these disciples, these dedicated followers that he wants to use and entrust and anoint in this present hour? Number one, we touched on A already. He calls diligent men. Diligent men. They were working when he found them. What do we say? God don't like lazy. God don't like ugly. Amen. God don't like lazy or ugly. He don't like that. And Jesus calls diligent men. But the Bible says, listen, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might unto the Lord. Amen. It says, keep your zeal in the Lord. Give God a quality effort in your service. Don't just go through the motions. And we studied that. We took a week. He calls diligent men. When he found these men, they were hard at work. They were busy doing what their business required. And God's looking for people that will give a quality effort of excellence in their service. We don't just go through the motions. Christianity is not a hobby. We're diligent followers of Jesus Christ. We serve him with all our heart and with all our strength. And secondly, we went to Jesus calls decisive men. We studied this last week. Decisive men. He called them, they left everything and followed. Now we said that they had met him before. This wasn't the first time. But there comes a time when God says, you got enough information. I've spoken to you enough. I've revealed myself enough. Now you got to make a choice. And when that call comes, he's expecting us to respond. They left all and went after him. We studied that last time. He's looking for us that will leave everything if need be. Respond to the call. A sincere, no turning back decision to follow Christ. Amen? We love to sing at water baptisms, right? The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. And that's what he wants from us. Amen? A decision. That's it. I'm not walking the fence. I'm not straddling the line. I'm wholeheartedly going after God. And now he wants disciplined men. I think of the word disciple and the word discipline is kind of together. Amen? They're similar words. He needs disciplined men. Number one, we see in verse 17, he says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You need discipline to come under discipline. I need discipline to come under discipline so that he can mold me and shape me and forge me into the vessel he wants me to be. You can't go too far in God if you're not so undisciplined. To come under and allow him to make you, but then also obey him when he sends you. But he says, listen, come to me, I'm going to make you, and then you're going to become a fisher of men. And so we look at this a little bit. We need to be men and women of discipline to submit to the discipline of God's process of preparing our lives to be the ones he's called us to be. We said last week, you know, in the world of sports, The greatest athletes will usually be noted as those that love hard coaching. They love hard coaching. Because they know if someone doesn't coach them hard, they'll be leaving something behind. They want someone that will force them to give their utmost. In the same way, when Jesus makes disciples, he puts us on a potter's wheel. Amen? And there's a process of pruning and polishing and stretching. There's breaking, there's building. And if there's not a discipline to submit to that, to come under that yoke and to stay in that potter's wheel, I'm not going to last. When the party's over, so is the person. Amen? When the good times aren't what we want them to be, or we get disappointed. But a man or woman that's disciplined, they're going to finish what they began. And so we look at this. These guys are fishing on the Sea of Galilee. It's hard work. It requires courage and discipline. And what Jesus was calling them to and us to, these men, it would require much more than just the fishing. In the process of time, he says, I will make you. We need discipline because sacrifice is part of our service. Submission to God's dealings and God's preparation, part of our service. We need discipline because we're going to be called to stand against the current of the culture and stand against certain things and boldly stand for, unapologetically, other things. That takes a discipline. That takes a discipline. That takes a self-control. You think about it. The vessel is forged. You and I being the vessel is forged on the anvil of God's dealings. So often we're trying to run from the dealings of God when they're the very things that make us into the men and women he wants us to be. We've somehow equated comfort as the ultimate goal as opposed to Christ-likeness. And we've lost something along the way. But it's often through the process of being tried and being tested that he makes me into the one he wants me to be. And if I avoid that, I avoid what he wants to do in my life. So a man or woman of God got to be a disciplined person. Jesus is looking for men and women that are disciplined. That they'll submit so he can do a work in their lives. And they'll be trustworthy so we can thrust them out to do the work he's called them to do on the earth. And so again, let me ask you something. If you're hiring someone, if you have a team, would you want to hire or invest in an undisciplined man? That's a wasteful man. An undisciplined man's a wasteful man. You don't want to give them a loan, do you? They just waste it. After a while, you don't even want to give them advice. They just waste it. Isn't that true? That's how God looks at us. But a disciplined one makes the most of every opportunity. So again, when you think of the qualities of a good professional fisherman, and I can't say I've ever been one, but I can read, amen? And you know, they have similar traits of a productive disciple. There's courage. There's the ability to work together as a team, isn't there? There's patience, there's perseverance, there's energy, stamina, faith, tenacity, discipline, discipline. That's what we want to look at tonight. That's what we want to dig into. Jesus is looking for disciplined men and women to be his disciples. Because, listen, he wants to invest in them. So he wants to make a good investment, not a wasteful investment. Isn't that right? You know, you spend time trying to mentor. Someone goes in one ear and out the other. You've wasted a lot of time. They're not disciplined. You know, they're not taking it in. They're not applying it. Isn't that right? You can help someone get on their feet financially, but if they're slothful and they're not disciplined, just wasted, and they get in the same mess again. After a while, you're a fool to keep helping them. He invests in them, and he wants to entrust some true riches to them. And you've got to be disciplined if God wants to give you true riches. Amen? Of course, he wants to commit to his men and women that great commission, their great call, and that comes with challenges. And if we're not disciplined, as soon as the devil sneezes, we want to give up and find the path of least resistance. He's looking for men and women that are consistent and steady and trustworthy. That's a disciplined man. A disciple is a disciplined one. I'm disciplined, allowing the Lord to mold me, shape me, do his work in me. Amen. He can coach me hard, and I'm not going to cry and, you know, want mommy to give me a cupcake. He can speak into my life and tell me to lay things at an altar. Amen? And God, he can let that fire, love when we sing, fire of God burn in me. Because I got so much junk, I just wanted to consume it. Amen? Consume my impatience. Consume that, you know, opinionated thing. Consume it, Lord, that it be pure and polished. Amen? And you have to be disciplined to receive that, but then you have to be disciplined to go and do what he's called you to do. Because every calling, no matter what it is, there's opposition, there's pressures, there's challenges. And if we don't have the discipline, we give up. If we're not disciplined, we quit when the going gets tough. But a disciplined man or woman, they're moved by something greater than the emotion. They're moved by the calling. They're moved by the commission. Makes all the difference. We've got to be disciplined people. Again, much is required to whom much is. So to prove ourselves trustworthy, I'm disciplined. Let's look at a few verses, and then we'll make some more comments. If you would, Galatians 5, very, very familiar. 5:22 and 23. This is Paul, but discipline would be self-control. All right, self-control. And so we're going to look at this. And, you know, we studied, in times past, we spent long periods studying the fruit of the Spirit. And we studied self-control for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But this is one of the attributes that God is looking for in his people. One of the things that we should demonstrate to the world we belong to him is that the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. So again, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's self-discipline. Against such things there is no law. So we see that God tells us, you know what? Christian maturity and Christ-likeness means be someone that's self-controlled. Self-controlled. Isn't that right? Don't shoot yourself in the foot so much when you're self-controlled. You don't have to apologize so much for saying what you should have said if you're self-controlled. Spirit-controlled. Spirit-controlled. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Listen, if you don't want to waste what God has deposited in your life, you've got to have some self-control. People without self-control waste the deposit God's put within them. Because the deposit doesn't bloom by itself. The deposit doesn't come full maturity. It needs to be exercised. It needs to be pruned. It needs to be developed. It takes time. It takes effort. Amen? And here's Paul. Now, we know this verse. But remember the verse right before it? He says, stir up the gift. Fan into flame. The gift. See, the gift that Timothy had was starting to weaken. It was losing its sharpness. It was losing its excellence. It was losing its its quickening power. All right, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and what? Self-discipline. Self-discipline. You see, because once God puts the gift in, once God makes a deposit of that anointing and that gifting and that ministry, then it's up to me to keep the fire burning. Amen? When he deposits it and God places a gift upon us, God places an anointing upon us, then it's up to me to keep it strong and vibrant. He ignites the fire, but man, I've got to put the wood of the word on that fire. Amen? I've got to pray and praise and get the wind breathing life on that fire. And here you see Timothy, this great man of God, a right hand, a mentored by the Apostle Paul. And Paul has to say, Timothy, listen, stir up that gift. The gift used to bloom in the gift was stronger before. The gift was more active before. God didn't give you a gift so it could sit on it. God gave you a gift to exercise it and use it for his glory. Use it to bless his people. Amen? But Timothy, the fire is starting to get a little low. Why? One of the reasons, you're getting timid, but you're not using self-discipline. Self-discipline says, you know what, I'm tired. I'm going to seek God anyway. You see? Yeah, self-discipline says, you know what? A lot of other things are going on, but I got to first spend my time with the Lord. And that's self-discipline. Amen? You know, that's self-discipline. I'm going to stir myself up. Maybe things outside surrounding. Maybe the drummer's not hitting the beat the way I wish he'd hit it. Don't need that. Amen? Don't have the organs. Don't need that. Amen? I'm going to stir myself up. Amen? I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Self-discipline does that. Self-discipline discovers that I have a responsibility to keep my spiritual man strong and to keep my gifting and anointing sharp. It's on me. It's not on God. He made the deposit. He bestowed it upon me. He's entrusted the treasure to me. But now it's up. And self-discipline does that. Amen? But sometimes you're tired. Amen? Sometimes you can get fearful. You just got a bad report. You know, something happened to your kid. Something. You don't think the devil hits you with things. Amen? Second Peter, let's look at Peter. 2 Peter 1. And again, here's another verse that we studied. We took a good couple of months and looked at the first chapter of 2 Peter some years ago. But notice with 2 Peter, same thing. For this very reason, he's talking about these great and precious promises we have. Partaking of the divine nature is beautiful, these early verses. And then he says in verse 5, because of this, for this reason, make every effort. New American Standard, New King James talk about apply all diligence. How many of you know you got to apply yourself to grow in Christianity? And you've got to make some intentional effort to mature and go to new levels in God. Amen? You know, some people, if you just move by the emotional thing, you'll just be moved, or things going well in my life, is the music hitting it just right to stir me. But when you become self-motivated because you're self-controlled under the Spirit, then all of a sudden, you know what? You'll make every effort, and you're going to add some things to your faith. Add to your faith. All right. Everybody here saved? Everybody a Christian? All right, you got faith. Don't stop there. God says add. You got to make some effort to add. Isn't that right? Have you ever been a school teacher, ever been a coach? One of the most frustrating things, seeing a young man or woman that has wonderful potential but will not apply themselves. Drives you nuts, right? You can see that they had greatness in them. You can see such potential in them, but you pull your hair out. You will, I'll stay after school with you. I'll do whatever. But if they don't apply themselves, the gift dies. The seed never blooms. So here we go. We got faith. For this reason, make every effort, add to your faith some goodness. All right? From goodness, knowledge. To knowledge, here it is, self-control. The more knowledge of God and His ways ought to grant us a greater self-control to walk in those ways. See, knowledge is not just so we know things. Knowledge is so we can be things. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, love. That's good. Amen, amen. Let's look at a couple more now. How about Proverbs 16:32? Jesus is looking for men that are disciplined. Jesus is looking for women that are disciplined. Now we're going to define discipline and self-control in just a little bit. But I got to be able to master my own spirit. Amen? You won't have so many quarrels when you master your own spirit. Amen? When that gentle answer turns away wrath. But how many times, if you just would have bit your tongue? Amen? They wouldn't have been chilled at the house for 5 days if you just would have bit your tongue. All right, bite it for 5 seconds and that thing passes, but you had to say it. You had to speak up instead of some self-control. Come on, say amen to that.
Amen.
You know, God, as Christians, we want to please the Lord. Amen? We make it our goal to please Him. We love Him so much because He first loved us. And we want to. I want to find out what pleases God because I want to do that. Isn't that right?
That's right.
You meet someone that you like, and you become good friends. You meet that special one. I want to find out what they like because I want to bless them. Isn't that true? And when you love the Lord, you want to bless them. So the Bible says, God says, better a patient man than a warrior. God says, I'll take patience over Rambo. The culture won't say that. The culture will say, give me John Wayne. But God said, hang on. You Western, hang on. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who what? Controls his temper than one who takes a city. So we see that God applauds and God esteems self-control, doesn't He? So that ought to be something I shoot for. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that demonstrates Christ-likeness in me. Self-control. Jesus is looking for men and women that self-control. Because your self-discipline and self-control will enable God to develop you into the one He wants you to be. Amen? But it'll also allow Him to use you in the way He wants to use you. Amen. Go to the last proverb we got here. You know, not only does God applaud it, but listen, self-control is beneficial to you. Self-control is beneficial to you. There are a whole lot of people in jail because they could not control self. I used to tell my boys, we drive to school and they're little, I say, you know, a lot of people in prison because if you can't control yourself, someone else will have to control you. A lot easier to control yourself, is it not? Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Think about that. How did they say it in my notes here? Defenseless and disgraced. In the ancient times, if there were no walls, there was no defense. It was easy prey, and it was a disgrace. Remember when Jerusalem was like that, and there was weeping, and mourning was a thing of shame. So a man that can't control himself is like a city without walls, God says. You're defenseless and you're a disgrace. You're constantly doing things that you regret. You're constantly... So it's important to be a disciplined man. Are you with me? Amen. That wasn't the biggest amen, but we're going to work on that. All right. We're talking about self-control. One person, one writer put it like this. Such a person rules his own spirit well. If you're a man or woman that's disciplined, if you're a person of self-control, fruit of the Spirit, such a person rules his own spirit well. How do we like to say it? The first person I got to manage is right here. This guy right here. Amen. I got more problems with this guy than any devil. I'm just write that down. Amen. There's the devil and we defeat him, but I got more problems with this old guy right here, that old man, than the devil. Come on. Yeah. The capacity, this word means the capacity for personal or self-government, the ability to control one's appetites, emotions, and instincts under the Spirit. Spirit ruled. Spirit ruled. How about that? Is that good? Spirit ruled. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? I said, don't be filled. Filled means don't be under control. But be filled with, be under control of the Spirit. Be under the influence of the Spirit. And that cop pulls that person over, driving under the influence. Paul is saying, don't be under the influence of these things. Be under the influence of the Spirit of God. So you can walk in the Spirit and think in the Spirit and respond to life in the Spirit. And Jesus said, I'm looking for those kind of people. I can't trust true spiritual riches. You'd be a fool to send your five-year-old out with a shotgun by themselves. Amen? It's too much power. They can't handle it. It's just dangerous. It's foolish. It would be negligent on a parent. Amen? God says, you got to grow up a little bit before I can entrust you with true spiritual riches. You'll kill someone or kill yourself. See what I'm getting at? And then some people say, God says, but I deposit in you the potential to be. Come unto me that I might make you. I want you to become the one I called you to be. But you wouldn't discipline yourself enough to stay in a place where I can mold you and chisel you and shape you. And every time I wanted to stretch you for your own good, you ran away. And every time I began to hit on that pet sin that you think is okay, and I see it as being a hindrance to your greatness, to your growing, to your maturing, you wouldn't let me deal with it. I say, disciplined man. I'm going to stay on the potter's wheel. And if he addresses it, it means it needs to be addressed. How about that? I can't trust man's opinion. But boy, I can trust his. And if he says that thing needs to be addressed, then guess what? Lord, go ahead, operate. Operate. Amen? Holy Ghost fire. Consume me. See that? Come on. Praise the Lord. Under the influence. You know, we talk about being filled with Spirit. Under the influence. We say this, they're filled with jealousy. They're filled with anger. They're controlled by that. But the disciple needs to be controlled of the Spirit. My mind, my mouth, my motives, my actions. I got to put on that helmet of salvation. I got to renew my mind and think the Word. Amen. My mouth got to be ruled by the law of kindness, not the criticism, not the gossip. I need to confess God's word, not my own. See where we're getting at? My heart, my motivation. And again, the original word, when we look at self-control, we look at the word control in the Greek. The original word speaks of holding with a firm hand. We get this thought, get a hold of yourself. Isn't that right? When you see someone, we say, get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Stop acting like, get a hold of yourself. That's self-control. And that is very important if you want to go forward in God. Jesus is looking for disciplined people. Because only disciplined people will allow him to do what he desires to do in us. But also only disciplined people can be used in the way and in the measure God wants to use them. Let's ask ourselves real quick, why is discipline, self-control so important? Real quickly. Number one, to grow. Number two, to go. Number three, to develop. And number four, to finish. To finish all discipline. Why is discipline so important? Number one, to grow. Again, as we've been saying, so he can make you. So that you and I can endure and submit to the process of being made into. You know, it's like we say, the boot camp. Anyone ever been to basic training boot camp? Here's the function of it. It's either going to develop you or disqualify you. That's what it's made for. It'll develop those worthy and bring them to the next place, or it'll disqualify the unfit and send them home to mama. But either way, someone that is disciplined, I can keep going. Amen? I don't give up. I don't need to get distracted. When I knock down, I get back up. There's a discipline in that. There's a discipline in that. Again, God teaches us. God tests us. God proves us. God prunes us. God polishes us. God stretches us. God breaks us and God builds us. I need to be a disciplined person so I can submit to the dealings of God so I can become the one he's called me to be. You know, everyone has their own profession. I'll talk about our profession. You know, sometimes you see people that think they're called and aren't called. We know that. And thank God after a year or so, they go back to where they should be. That's good. Amen? But some of them might be called, but they just quit too soon. And if they would have just really let God do that breaking, they might have come out the other side of that victoriously. Because I'll tell you what, when you start out in anything, sometimes you get so overwhelmed. Sometimes you think, man, maybe I just ought to be, you know, I'll pass out the bulletins in the back. Amen? You know, when you're a 20-year-old, got to deal with an ornery board or, you know, some know-it-all, you know. After a while, you say, man, I don't know about this. I'd rather be somewhere else. This ain't fun at all. Amen? I mean, whatever your thing is. We've seen people think they could do that because they saw something exciting in it. And a lot of them, they got disqualified, and that was good. But some of them, quite frankly, they might have really been called, and had they had the discipline, they could have went through that season and really grew and mature. Maybe God was doing something in them, you see. So again, a lot of people quit too soon, before God was really getting ready to do that work in the life. Go to John 15 and 2. John 15 and 2. Now, we're in church, so confession is good for the soul. Amen? I'm going to confess to you that when I used to read this as a teenager in early 20s in college, I didn't like this verse too much. I'll be honest. Confession, good for the soul. Amen? Because I always grew up, you know, if you're a good boy, you get blessed. If you're a bad boy, you get the spanking, all right? So it bothered me to read that even if I'm going to be a good boy, I'm going to get some spanking. I didn't like that. You see what I mean? Need discipline. Because God wants to make you the best person, Christian you can be. And if you're not disciplined, it's easy to get mad at God. You ever get mad at God? Don't lie, you're in church. You ever get mad at God? You know, you're doing good. You're living holy. You're doing your best. And that joker over there, they're buying lotto tickets. They're sipping Saints or all this. And it seems like they get their promotion at work. You're saying, what in the world? What use is it, Lord, to live? No, you never said that. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Now, the Father, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And I said, that's good. Good. All right, cut them off. Get rid of the lead weight. Amen. Get them out of here. You know, you're in school, right? You're in college, and you're praying, man. You're disciplined. You left everything behind. And these jokers just say, man, they barely saved. How did he get in here? How did they let him in? You know, so you're saying, good, let's get rid of the dead weight. Then you read the next line, while every branch that does bear fruit, yeah, Lord, he prunes. Why should I get pruned? I'm doing good. I'm living right. Easy to get mad at God, isn't it? Lord, why are you letting me go through these trials? I pay my tithe. Why are you letting me go through these trials? I pray more than most. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Why? So that it'll be even more fruitful. Because God says, you might be content with where you're at, but I'm not. You might be satisfied with where you are, but I'm not. And I want you to bear more fruit, and I want the fruit to be of a better quality, better quality, better quality. And the only way I can do that, I got to prune back some branches. Amen? I started to understand this more as I got older. And, my old Italian grandfather, he'd come around, he'd visit, and he'd go with them pruning things. And, man, he got done with some of Dad's stuff. I said, my Lord, he killed it. I go, Dad's going to flip his wig. You know what I mean? He's going to, ha, ha. And, I never saw that before. He went to town. But I'll tell you, give it time. That was the most beautiful. He knew exactly what he was doing. I thought it looked crazy. I didn't know anything about pruning. I never, The Lord knows what he's doing. But sometimes while he's pruning, it can kind of hurt a little bit. It can be a little disappointing. You figure, I'm going to take that next step into victory and say, no, I'm going to prune you a little bit. Because there's some areas I want you to mature in. There's some areas of patience. You're just not there yet. There's some areas of forgiveness that you're not there yet. So I'm going to, wow. So God tests us and God proves us so he can prepare us. And if I'm not disciplined, I won't submit to that. That's why you can get someone in the church for 30 years and it still seems like they're still in third grade. They're still ornery. They still, you know what I mean? They can't pray more than 2 minutes. But say 30 years, you don't got enough. You can't pray more than 2 minutes. You haven't developed that much. Are you with me? Do you love Wednesday nights? You can say yes. They're not looking at you. That's all right. Are you with me?
Amen.
The Lord's going to prune us. I go to another one. God wants to deal with us. And if I'm not willing to endure the process, I won't enjoy the prize. And the prize is Christ-likeness. The prize is spiritual maturity. Greater fruitfulness, okay? 2 Corinthians 1. This is an interesting thing. Now the Apostle Paul was a heavyweight. Amen? If there was a heavyweight, it was Apostle Paul. He's one of my heroes. That guy was something. That one place stoned him to death. He got up, half dead, went back in and preached. He was something. Talk about can't keep a good man down. That guy, I don't know about him. He wrote one time, the light and momentary troubles. I said, man, if what he went through, a light and momentary, man, am I a wimp? That's all I know. But Paul writes, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Now, this is Paul, okay? So he's not a wimp. Paul can take some stuff. So when he says it's hard, it was hard. Hardships we suffered in the province. We were under great pressure. There's that word thalipsis, right? Great pressure. Great pressing. We suffered hardship, providence. We were under great pressure. Here it is. Far beyond our ability to endure it. This is Paul talking. That must have been pretty heavy. You ever get to the end? Where you just say, Lord, I got nothing left. I just gotta fall on you. Amen? I just gotta fall on you. He says, you know what? We despaired even of life. Wow. So God took him through some trials of great pressure that even Paul said, man, I thought this was it. Amen. I'm getting ready to, see glory. Indeed, he said, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But see the word but? After he went through it, he was able to recognize something. But this happened. I like that. Paul says, don't listen, friends, don't waste your suffering. Don't waste your trials. Don't ask for them. Don't do anything that causes them. But when they come, don't waste them. Amen? Lord, teach me through them. Lord, help me to grow through them. Because Paul writes, but this happened. All that hardship all happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. God allowed me to go through that place because God wanted to take me to a whole other level of trusting him, of believing him, of just totally casting everything on his strength, not on mine. Because I guess someone like Paul that got used so much, it might have been easy for him to trust in himself, amen? Or to trust in his own faith, to trust in his own willpower. And God says, I will take you to your breaking point, but I won't let you break. I'll let you grow. But it's in those places you lean on me. When you got nowhere else to go, you got to lean on God. Amen? When there are no more answers, you just got to lay at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, Uncle, And God says, through that thing you grow. See, but a disciplined person will do that. The undisciplined will run, will curse God and die, will backslide. You see? So it's discipline that helps us to grow. And it's discipline that helps us to go. Because he said, come unto me, and I'm going to make you, and then I'm going to send you. Because when God begins to use your life, whatever sphere it is, whatever avenue it is, there'll be opposition, there will be challenges, there will be pressures. And if you're not willing to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ, if you're not able, amen, self-discipline, I keep my focus, I keep my fervor, I keep my faithfulness. They might call me bad things, but I'm not going to call them bad things back. Amen. My best efforts might seem like they didn't accomplish much. I'm going to keep giving my best efforts. Amen. I'm not going to. It's self-discipline that helps me go and carry out the assignment God has for me. You just take a perusal through the book of Acts. I mean, you don't get through a few chapters and already we must obey God rather than man. Amen. I mean, already these men that walked in the power of God were being opposed and being challenged. And if they were not men of discipline, how easy it would have been to say, what's the use? I'm going back home. Ah, this is not it. It's not fun. When the fun ends, the disciplined one, keep marching on. To go is to carry out our assignment, regardless of opposition, pressure, misconduct. Some turn back, some settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. Some compromise, some make an excuse. And like I say, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Amen. To go, to carry out your call without spiritual discipline. When you begin to be used of God the way he wants to use you, he wants to use everyone in different ways, but he wants to use everyone. Without spiritual discipline, we'll turn back, we'll give up, we'll blow up. We'll start just going through the motions instead of continuing to serve with focus, fervor, and faithfulness. We'll look for the path of least resistance. Obedience will get challenged, listen, from within and from without. Obedience gets challenged from within and from without. My inner man will challenge me. We all like to be liked, don't we? I like to be liked. You like to be liked? But sometimes when you're serving the Lord, they're going to treat you like they treated him. Amen? So we can't always like to be liked. Amen? I like to be liked, but you know, so there's a challenge that comes from within this old nature. I want to be liked. Mary's dad is Pastor Veach. I've talked about him so much. Real prophet of God, real prophet of God. He even walked through, words of wisdom would come. But he was a prophet in the body. And we were talking on the phone, it couldn't have been more than 10, 15 years ago. We were talking about the things of God, and we were just talking about ministry and some of the things, how God had used him in the past, and the things he had to deal with and confront as that prophetic role in the fellowship and in the church. And I said, Pastor, that kind of reminds me of in Jeremiah, where the Lord says, you're my battle axe. And he said, yes, son, but a battle axe often takes a lot of beating and a lot of bruising. You see, a lot of things look nice and look exciting, but then the reality is not always easy, and it's not always applauded, it's not always wanted. But the man or woman of God is disciplined to carry out the assignment that God gave them to the best of their ability and to do it in the right spirit. Amen? And so that's why discipline. How many people have quit that you know? How many people have quit? How many people 20 years ago taught Sunday school? A friend of mine one time said, see that person there, Pastor? I said, yeah. He's one of the best lay teachers I ever heard all my years being in church. I go, why doesn't he come to church anymore? Well, some preacher wasn't thinking too good and offended his wife about 20 years ago. It wasn't anything terrible, but, you know, preacher should have known better. But it's no excuse not to be faithful to God's house for the next 30 years. So the whole body of that area gets ripped off of a gift that God put in there. There's one person that's not disciplined enough to say, I need to take my bruises and my scars to the Lord, but not lose my focus in obedience to the task he's given me. Are you with me? You see, so again, why is discipline so important? Jesus said, listen, I want to make you into something, but you've got to let me. You've got to be willing to let me deal with you and speak to you and test you and try you and stretch you, but also I want to use you. And if I'm going to use you, sometimes, like we say, sometimes they'll be saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Sometimes they'll be saying, crucify him, crucify him. But the disciplined person, I just got to keep obeying God. I got to keep doing it the best that I can with God. Let me go off speeding this up. Number three, self-discipline will help us develop and mature to become the one God's called us to be. The duo of faithfulness and self-control are two very important things in order to develop. We've touched on this earlier with Timothy, to develop our gifts and our talents. If you see anyone that's mastered anything, I don't care if it's taking an engine apart or playing the piano, they didn't come out of mama doing it. The potential was there, but there was isn't that right? I mean, if you play that, when Pastor Al and I in college, teenage kids in the college would have these little rooms, like a big closet with a piano in there, so the piano people could practice. And we were 17, 18, 19 years old, and we'd go down there, and we'd find one of those things, and he'd play it, and I'd sing, if you can call that singing, and we'd just worship the Lord together. But I know one thing about him, a brother David playing that, Christina, anyone plays an instrument, I know one thing. You have to start out with do, so, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And if you do that, then you get to go twinkle, twinkle, little star. Long before you're tickling them ivories with some boogie-woogie. Are you with me? Amen? Isn't that right? Isn't that right? And self-discipline, I read this quote. Here we go. Motivation will get you going. Discipline will keep you growing. Isn't that right? That's what it's going to be. You get pumped up. You go to that missions convention, and God stirs your heart. You go, and God blesses your heart. God moves upon you, and you're motivated, and it gets you going. But then when you got to wake up and study, wake up and practice, wake up and discipline will keep you growing. Motivation will get you going. Discipline will keep you growing. I remember reading one time, Larry Bird, as a high school kid, every morning before breakfast and before he went to school, 500 foul shots, 500. You say, oh, that looks so easy for him. Yeah, you do that 500 times a day, every day. You know, from the time you're 16 years old, you get good at anything. Amen? But you're going to develop gifts and exercise. If you're going to be someone that does not waste what God has deposited, you've got to have self-discipline. Let me give you an example. Some of you have grown, wonderfully grown in God in, say, the last decade. But that didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen because of one service, God's power knocked you out. Thank God if it did. But it happened that you began to practice some spiritual disciplines. You started doing your devotions, amen? You started consistently praying and honoring God's house. And you began to grow, and you began to mature, and you began to overcome things, and you began to develop things. It's a beautiful thing. But what happened? Faithfulness and self-control got together, and that's what takes potential and makes it a reality. That's what it takes. Well, you know, it takes more than talent and potential. It takes faithfulness and discipline to develop that and mature that and exercise that. Isn't that right? Oh, man. Oh, Lord. I'm going to develop those gifts. Develop those gifts. It's called the law of consistency. If you'll consistently do that thing, you'll grow and you'll mature. If you'll just come to church faithfully with the proper attitude by osmosis, you'll grow. Trust me. If you'll just get in the atmosphere, if you'll do it consistently, the law of consistency, amen? You'll grow. You'll start to get it. It'll get you. Amen. All right, finishing up. The last one. Wow. Self-discipline's going to help me grow. Because it allows me to submit to the dealings of God. God has to do a work in our hearts. Amen? He's molded me. He's broken me. He's humbled me. He's consumed me. Amen? There's no other way to grow. But it also helps you go. Because sometimes you go. And sometimes there's resistance. And sometimes you take arrows. And sometimes people misunderstand. Amen? That helps you to develop those gifts. Helps you to develop those gifts. Amen? and you start something, you got to keep practicing, being disciplined to keep exercising it. But lastly, it's going to help us to finish. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Discipline helps me to finish. Discipline helps me to finish. Well, what did Paul say? 1 Corinthians 9. Do we got that one? We got 1 Corinthians 9. I got there, 6. What is it, 6, 9? What did I give you? There we go. Paul says, don't you know that in a race the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone goes into strict training to do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown last. But look what Paul says here. I do not run like a man aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body. It's discipline. I discipline myself. I learn to overcome things. If I got to put the computer away, I get rid of it. If I got to close the door on things, I get serious about overcoming some things. I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I want to finish. I don't want to be disqualified. And discipline helps me to finish because discipline will keep me working and overcoming and identifying the things that are a danger and working on the things that need to grow. We pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you're calling us to be your disciples, to be your dedicated followers. And Lord, we pray, help us to diligently serve you. Help us to never give you half-hearted effort, but to give you our best like you gave your best for us. Help us, Lord, to be decisive in our decisions that we're not turning back. We're not looking back. We're putting the hand to the plow. We're coming after you. We're going forward in you. We made that decision. But Lord, help us to be men and women of discipline so that you can do your good work in us to mold us and shape us and make us into the men and women you want us to be, and that we can be men and women that you can trust with your calling, with your assignments, with true spiritual riches. Father, bless these dear ones that have come out tonight. Help each one of us to grow and mature. Lord, you know every situation. You know what everyone's going through. You know where we're at. Help each one of us to advance, to mature, to overcome and become the ones you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, God bless you. Have a great day.